If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Rake, past tense.
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
We're back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. Here we are with episode 54, our first episode after the Joe Panic Emergency Retirement Podcast. And the first time hearing that beautiful intro song since Joe Panic's retirement, it is a little heartbreaking, but we are here and we're still going to have a fun time talking about baseball. I am Noah. I am joined always by Brian and Adam. How are you? We saw each other in person today. We're all in person today for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. A little tired, long day, long weekend. Still haven't fully recovered from Joe Panic's retirement, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but Joe Panic retires, and I think I've drank more over this last couple of days than I have in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there might be other factors.
No,
nope. Too.
I don't think there is.
Directly correlated.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, fair enough. Everyone's got their reasons. got to shout this out off the top. You got to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Nonstop BB Pod. Both of them, but especially Instagram, because the promo for the Joe Panic Emergency Podcast is one of the proudest things I've ever made.
It is the best.
Well, it's the best thing we've ever made as a podcast. I'm saying one of the proudest things I've ever created just in my life as well. It is every bit as epic and dramatic, emotional, and intense as it needed to be.
Yeah. I don't know how we're supposed to do a podcast, like continue to do a podcast knowing we've already peaked. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I hate to say it, but like, I don't know if we'll be able to top that at any point. Like, we'll get close. Because trust me, we're going to continue and we'll get close, but I don't know, man. That's kind of the pinnacle of our content, I feel like.
And it was our first take, too. One take, I exploded with laughter as soon as I hit stop record.
We barely got through it.
But it is a beautiful thing. Please go watch that. I think all of us pretty, being our genuine selves, as we are always on the podcast, but just... I think really showing our true just nature. And it's just a beautiful, funny thing. And also just Joe Panic. Shout out one time. We love you.
Shout out one time. Hey, you ever want to come on the podcast, Joey Panic?
Yes.
He's got time.
You could, yeah, we can get even another host if you want to. But speaking of careers ending, there was a career beginning this week as well. Adley Rutschman, number one baseball prospect, came up and made his debut for the Orioles. And guess what? His first hit was a triple. So let's listen to that right now.
Rutschman into right field, down the line, a fair ball. Adley will turn first, head for second. He's going to turn second, go for third. Rutschman into third base standing. An extra base hit, his first hit in the major leagues. Welcome to the show, kid.
Welcome to the show.
Adley Rutschman, love to see him getting off to a hot start. Love to see the wheels, too. I don't know if you guys see the highlight?
Yeah, man, he was moving. Yeah. I think my favorite thing about that highlight is Brett Phillips, who somehow is just, like, involved in everything. Like, he's the outfielder fumbling with the ball who allowed Adley Rutschman to get to third.
Yes.
And it's great. I love Brett Phillips.
Yeah. Brett Phillips, I'm glad that he's getting a lot more regular playing time now just because he's fun to watch. Like, obviously, it's not for the best reasons in this clip, but he's like an insane elite defender. Love to watch that. He's just a fun guy, having a big smile on his face all the time. Just more Brett Phillips, please. Dude,
I got a little fun. I guess it's a stat for you guys. So who would you say was the last notable Orioles prospect, big notable Orioles prospect to come up?
Manny Machado?
Yeah. You don't know what Manny Machado's first hit was?
Grand Slam?
A triple.
Hey.
Before that, you know the last big Orioles prospect? It was a catcher by the name of Matt Waiters. You remember him?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
His first big league hit was a triple.
Wow.
So apparently Orioles like prospects, they get called up, and if they're a big high profile prospect, a triple indicates that they're going to be good or not. That's how I'm taking it.
Yeah. Weeders and Machado, both really solid careers. Okay.
And both hit triples. So hopefully Adley Rutschman is on his way. I think we would all love to see the Orioles have a stud to go along with Cedric Mullins and maybe start building something out there.
Oh yeah. Some other big news. Well, the other probably, well, I don't know.
There's a couple other big things.
There's a couple big things. One of them, Max, is not the happiest of news, but Max Scherzer taking himself out of the game earlier this week with a side injury, likely oblique related. And that's never a good sign, especially in terms of if you're trying to find a timetable. If those things, it's a mystery, really, how long they're going to last. And if Max Scherzer's taking himself out of a game, it means it's pretty serious.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, when Scherzer really will, he'll fight his coach to stay on the mound. So him taking himself out is usually not a great sign.
Yeah, and specifically being oblique, man, those injuries are rough. Like, an oblique is a very important muscle, especially when it comes to the sport of baseball. I'm sure it's important in other sports too, but you've seen athletes be out for a month and multiple months. It's a scary injury, man. So,
I guess to maybe spin zone a little bit here, you could say that maybe we're talking about Scherzer taking himself out of the game being a bit of a red flag. He also has dealt with a little bit more injuries, especially like heading into the later stages of the season and playoffs the last couple of years. Maybe he's just learning his body a little bit better, felt a little something, and has, you know, turned a corner and understanding the season as a big picture, which is obviously best case scenario there. And hopefully it's not too bad, but still, even if it doesn't seem too bad right now, obliques are always scary.
Yeah, you know, another rough injury we had is the Jake Odorizzi one. That one's just kind of painful to watch.
Yeah.
And we were like, was last year? Yeah, last year he like wasn't signed until part of the way through the season. We were big on the Odorizzi train, trying to get him signed. Didn't have a good year last year, but then came out this year. I think found his home in Houston a little bit after that first year joining halfway through. I was pitching really good and just pop went the Achilles.
Yeah, man. And just trying to make the defensive play, getting off the mound. And it just, it really sucks to see those non-contact injuries. I mean, football, you see Achilles, ACL all the time. And it's a rough look. He's probably out for a year minimum, and hope he has a safe recovery and gets back soon.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the other one that I know we definitely want to come back soon, Jazz Chisholm coming out of the game with some hamstring tightness.
How am I supposed to listen to smooth jazz with no jazz?
I don't know. I was reading up, apparently Jazz Saturday night finished the game looking a little limp. And then they still send him back out there on Sunday. And then he had to leave the game. And also Joey Wendell, also out with a tight hammy. Marlins need to start doing their stretching, you know. Touch toes, keep the legs straight. Hopefully both of those guys get back out there soon.
What's the trainers doing out there?
I don't know. They're stretching the quads, but not the hammies.
Ooh, and then we also got to give a shout out to the Colorado Rockies sideline reporter, Kelsey Wingert, who took like a 96 mile per hour foul ball off a Giants bat. Austin Slater hit her straight in the head. She ended up having to go to the hospital and get a bunch of staples. Was not a great look. So hopefully she has a quick recovery.
Yeah, really fun personality, great sideline reporter. As a part of what I would say is a really underrated broadcast in Colorado. They really make the game fun. So hopefully she's back out there doing her thing soon, feeling comfortable, feeling safe. Because, yeah, I really enjoy her work.
Dude, yeah. She also does a really cool podcast called The Farm to Fame, where they kind of talk about a lot of prospects. So getting the prospect name out there. Shout out Kelsey Wingert.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to go next? You want to do some home cooking, talk about our own teams, or you want
to? I think that's a
else?
Good idea.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I kind of want to start off with a side note, because you know the Giants not been great as of recent. Like they were playing bad, got healthy, started playing good. It's definitely down a little bit. Got swept this weekend against the Padres. But something funny to start it out with is I happened to stumble upon Carlos Rodon's wife's Twitter.
Same.
And her bio is like, hey, I only tweet every 5 days, obviously alluding to when Carlos Rodon starts. And her Twitter feed is hilarious. Like there's just days where like they're not calling strikes or bad calls. And she's ready to throw hands with any umpire. And it's just, it's a hilarious time. You want to laugh? Go scroll through her Twitter. It's funny.
She's locked in.
Yeah, just locked in on his starts. You gotta love it. She's posting the screenshots of the MLB at bat zone, being like, look where that pitch was. It's hilarious. I love seeing someone super into it, super supportive. It's great. But back to Giants, 4-game losing streak. They lost the last game of the series against the Rockies. Lost 4 games against the pot. I mean, 3 games against the Padres afterwards. They're still 22-18. I mean, there's worse situations to be in. But Brandon Belt went back on the injured list. Lamont Wade went back on the injured list. Kurt Caselli, who was probably our best hitting catcher right now, took a foul ball off his mask. He has a concussion. It's been a lot of rough things. The starting pitchers have kind of just been getting beat up. I mean, Alex Cobb gave up like 5-6 runs, I think, today in 3 innings pitched. Just not ideal as of late. They really need to turn it around. Honestly, like the pitching hasn't been amazing, but the offense needs to start scoring. There's a lot of guys slumping right now. Like Jock Peterson jumped off to an extremely hot start, but at one point not so long ago, he was like 0-27. And I mean, he's kind of just, the Giants play the splits. So Jock Peterson only plays against righties. So it's not like he was only facing lefties and that's why he's struggling. He's just struggling. So, I mean, I think the Giants will turn it around, but the Rockies showed they're here to stay. Like they're not going to, they're at least going to not try collapsing like last year. And dude, Manny Machado right now, he's my MVP. That dude is playing absolutely out of his mind.
Yeah. Great, great ball player there for sure. And I would like Adam to go next, but I want to lead him in with this. I put the Blue Jays on my worry watch. Just thinking about in the offseason, a lot of people thinking this team won the offseason, the team that they assembled. They also had an exciting start, though we mentioned on this podcast that the run differential, even in the middle of their exciting start, said that maybe this isn't quite as it seems. And they haven't been horrible recently. They're 5-5 over their last 10, but with a negative 10 run differential on the year, which is worse than, and we're going to list some teams right here, the Red Sox, Guardians, Rangers, Phillies, Marlins, and Cubs. And I think going into the season, if you said May 22nd, the Blue Jays are going to have a worse run differential than all of those teams, I think you'd be very surprised, or you would say, wow, all of those teams really had some great years.
I mean, I don't think Adam would have been shocked by the Rangers.
No, not at all. Well, I also think it's worth noting like another aspect of that, which is it's not just that the run differential is worse, because honestly, if you had told me that stat I would have been like, yeah, that sounds fishy. But I would have also assumed that the problem would have been pitching, where I would have assumed, you know, that the Jays would have like 200 runs scored and just allowed a lot more. But that is not, but the Jays have scored less runs than all of those other teams as well. And that's, you know, where it gets a little bit more worrying.
Yeah. You got any, get any other insider info this week on the Jays?
Yeah. I mean, they played pretty well this week. They had a couple series against the Mariners and then the Reds, and they won both series. They took the first two games again against the Mariners pretty convincingly. In game three, you only score one run and I'm not going to do it. And then they took the first two games against the Reds and then lost the one today. But really, the pitching's actually been pretty solid the whole series. But when you beat the Reds, who, I mean, we've talked about the Reds, they have absolutely atrocious pitching. Now, granted, they've picked it up a little bit as of late, but when you play Cincinnati and over the course of the series, you only score seven runs total, that's not good. Yes, you still got two wins out of it because the Reds are bad, but you got to score more runs. And the Jays just sort of as a team are sort of slumping as far as hitting is concerned. I mean, the pitching right now is saving them and keeping them above 500, but with the way that the Red Sox have been picking it up as of late, staying right above 500 might not cut it for very long. Especially not with the rest of the AL East just being what it is. Yeah, I mean, the two losses that they had was the Gausman start against Seattle, but Gausman pitched well. They scored first and the Jays didn't really score much that game. And then the Kikuchi start today. But Kikuchi pitched fine. You know, I mean, he didn't go that deep. He only went 4 1/3, but you know, only allowed two hits, two runs, seven strikeouts. Like it's not a bad outing by any stretch. It's just that the Jays offense is not keeping up. Although there was a really interesting stat from, I think the first game of the series against the Reds, we'll have a little bit of trivia here. So Joey Votto, who has struggled a little bit to start the year, had an at bat in the fourth inning against the Jays on Friday, and he flew out and it brought his career average under 300 for the first time in a really long time. When do you guys think was the last time Votto had a sub 300 batting average career?
When did he debut?
I don't have that on hand. You can look that up.
And this is a career batting average, right?
Career batting.
Huh. Last time he was under 300.
He debuted in 2007, so I'm going to say 2008.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the safest guess because I know he hasn't been great over the last couple of years, so I would agree. 2008.
Yeah, it was 09, actually. Votto has rocked a greater than 300 average for that long is wild. In case you were worried about that, he did get a double his next at bat and it went back over 300. So
dang, I'm looking at Votto's baseball reference now, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
So like he hasn't batted over 300 since 2017,
mm-hmm.
but like he's been bad this year. Like
he's really struggled. Yeah.
I mean, he's making, I can't even make that joke and smile anymore. I'm just sad now. I thought about Joe Panic and I'm sad. I was going to say he's been making Joe Panic look good, but I'm just sad.
I mean, slugging 171.
Yeah. That's
that's pretty bad.
Not a good look.
I mean,
no,
anytime your OPS is under 500, you probably should.
Yeah. Sit back and
rethink what you're doing.
Yeah, it's rough. And really all of the Reds are having a rough time. But yeah, I mean, anyway, so yeah, Jays, they're looking a little bit better. Starting pitching has looked really good. Jordan Romano looked really good again. He had a short stint where he was out with injury. And then before that, had a short stint where he was just not quite as good.
Sorry.
But the bullpen looks good. The starting rotation looks good. The bats just, you know, maybe we need to hire Shohei. Give him some CPR, you know, get him woken up.
Yes.
Because right and, now, yeah, they're sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the bats that have woken up. Yeah. Noah, how are your Red Sox doing?
Yes. Well, before that, I want to get back to Joey Votto really quick.
All right.
Back to our favorite OPS analogy, the dinner analogy. You want your OPS to be a dinner time where you're like, I'm very hungry. Joey Votto at 446 right now. You're like, I'm not even hungry yet. That's not good.
I'm not even off work.
I don't know if I've ever heard this dinner time analogy, and I can't stop laughing at the thought of it.
If you're, yeah, like 6 o'clock, that's just right. You know, 600 OPS, about league average this year, crazy. But yeah, we want to get at least to 730. You know, you're like, man, I'm really hungry. I'm going to eat a lot, you know, but.
You know, my parents are pretty old. They eat dinner at 530. I don't want to call Joey Votto old, but. Maybe the dinner analogy still works.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pretty watertight analogy, all right?
It's watertight.
I don't want you here. I don't want to hear any critiques about this absolutely perfect analogy.
No, I'm saying it's a great analogy. I'm just saying, like, my parents are, I'm sorry to my parents that they're listening, but my parents are old. I'm just going to stop now.
So speaking of bats that have woken up, it was... all too familiar listening to Adam talk about it's really surprising that the offense has been such a letdown, because I mean that's what the Red Sox were for a long time this year, but they've woken up and woken up with a vengeance, being led by Trevor Story starting earlier in the week, right around, I forget what day it was exactly, I'm gonna be honest, but 4 for 4, 3 homers with a stolen base, 7 RBI. And then the very next game, in his first or second at bat, hits a grand slam. And then, oh yeah, today, Sunday, he also hit another home run. I mean, it's just one of those things. It feels like you blink twice. All of a sudden, Trevor Story's OPS is right in the mid 700s, which I think if going into the season, you said mid-May, Trevor Story's OPS is going to be in the mid 700s, you'd say, I'll take that. He's getting acclimated. If he's there in the mid 700s, just let him start to get used to things and he's just going to hit. And oh my gosh, is Fenway Park built for Trevor Story? Awesome pull power. And then just the speed for when he bangs it off the wall and he gets some funny caroms. Super fun to watch. Also this week, some historic, not in a good way, Red Sox news. Nathan Eovaldi gave up 5 home runs in an inning to the Astros, which was pretty wild. And then he bounced back Sunday, striking out a career high 11. He's still giving up more home runs than normal, but you know, he's right around that low fours ERA with that blow up start where he gave up the 5 homers. So he's been pitching great all year, just giving up more home runs than normal. Also, Matt Strom has been a beast out of the pen, and the bullpen's been really good, eating up a lot of innings. Today, they did blow another save, which is all that anyone ever wants to talk about. But as I've talked about a bunch of times, today was a low-scoring game where they blew that save. If the overall innings that the bullpen is giving you are what they are, you need to be appreciative and grateful for that, because this team is built on their offense, and when they're scoring, which like they have, they're just going to win games, especially if that bullpen's doing what it's been doing. Also just Devers and JD and Bogarts are still incredible. They're just kind of going a little bit under the radar with Trevor Story being like player of the week type stuff. And then, oh yeah, legalized Franch, my favorite nickname, cause it's an obscure Eric Andre reference. Franchi Cordero hit his first home run of the 2022 season. It was a walk-off grand slam. And honestly, his at-bats have been really good since he's gotten called up. Just not been super lucky. The shift is brutal against him at times. But I loved how he's looked, and I'm glad he got rewarded with this incredible grand slam to walk it off Sunday for the Red Sox.
They lead all the way around, and the 0-2 pitch.
Go!
Back, back, back! Yeah! the series. What an ending to this baby.
Also, just quick shout out, Kevin Youkilis on the mic. It's been his debut year for the Red Sox. Just awesome. You got to love hearing someone who's just genuinely enjoying watching baseball as much as he is. And just so excited. You could hear it in that, like, oh, like, it's like, oh my God, this is so fun. So yeah, just shout out to France, man. And the Red Sox schedule looking good coming up. One thing that my dad was saying when it was really in the darkness for the Red Sox is, like, all we have to focus on is 50 and 50. If we get to 50 and 50, we got 62 games to play with, and we'll see where we go from there. I still think that's a good goal right now, but I mean, the Red Sox are 19 and 22 right now. It's already feeling like 500 isn't too far off. But still, you know, every baseball's a grind. You just gotta be thankful for this, keep grinding away, get back to 500 eventually, and then just once you get above it, just work as hard as you can to stay above it. But nice 5-game win streak for the Red Sox right now. So loving watching it, loving having fun again, watching the Red Sox play baseball.
You know, personally, I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of that, like, 50 and 50 type mindset, especially where the Red Sox sit. Like, if you're, say, a Baltimore Orioles, they're 2 games less than Boston, maybe even a little worse than the Orioles. Yeah, let's fight for 50-50. I think it's way too early in the season to already be saying 50 and 50.
Personally. Well, that was when the Red Sox were, like,
really not down in the
winning
dumps.
Anything at all. Yeah, also, BRB, I forgot to put up my sign that says I'm recording, and you might be able to tell that my dad is watching the Warriors game right now.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I'm watching the Warriors right now. Can't blame him. Wiggins just postered Luka, so you got to love that.
Okay, that's what all the yelling was about. Okay, be right back.
Yeah, you great. I don't know. Where do we want to go next, Adam? You want to go to Worry Watch? Let's do good at hitting. We kind of talked about Trevor's story already.
Trevor's story. It's worth bringing up again. It's such a ridiculous run that he's been on recently. The 4-for-4 three home run game. That's so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, he hit another home run today. Like, I think he has, like, what, 6 home runs in the week now or something insane like that. Like,
yeah.
Trevor Story has been an absolute animal. And honestly, anybody that gave up on Trevor Story already, it's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, honestly, it's so ridiculous to give up on any baseball player at, like, not even, like, half a season.
Especially one with Trevor Story's resume.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's just some random dude that they're paying, like, $3 million this year. Like, he got a massive contract for a reason. The dude can hit.
Yeah.
And he's just proving that.
And it's just constant where people forget that athletes are human beings, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, dude literally signed midway through spring training after a lockout year, not having the same access to things. First time being a free agent, going from Colorado all the way to the East Coast. Yep. And it's just like, but yeah, I mean, like I said, that swing is designed for Fenway.
And I know this segment is who's good at hitting, but I'm just going to kind of skip to one moment of hitting. Brian Reynolds had a inside the park stand-up home run, which when you think about is pretty wild. But if you watch it, it is one of the most hilarious things because it bounces off the wall at the perfect angle and rolls like 150 feet away from the outfielder. And he's just running after the ball as it's rolling away. And it really is funny to watch, but Brian Reynolds, dude's fast, dude can hit. Nice for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, earlier in this week, I started typing up something about Freddie Freeman and how great he's been leading the Dodgers offense. And also doing it in his first year on a new team right away. Huge, huge shout out to that. And I started to say, well, Mookie's starting to get there too. And then this week, after I wrote that early in the week, Mookie just took off. Mookie now leads the team in OPS with an 888 OPS, and Freddie just behind him, 855. So, but yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a few times. The Dodgers really haven't been hitting much as a team and have still been incredible. And now they're, well, that's funny, trying to say two big stars. I mean, not really. Yeah.
But two of their biggest stars are really getting into form. I saw some talk earlier in the year from Red Sox Stats on Twitter, one of our favorite follows, saying like, is it sacrilegious to say, to look at Mookie's trajectory and not be totally bummed that we didn't sign him to a super long extension? And, you know, that's an argument to be made, but it's also like, give Mookie some time in this season. And now that we've given Mookie some time, he's starting to explode again.
Dude, I think Mookie Betts is in such a weird situation with the Dodgers, because he went from a point where we were talking about like Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, 1-2. And some people would even argue one was Mookie Betts when he was on the Red Sox. And it's just such a wild world, because like, it's not like he's like, he obviously hasn't been the same player in LA as Boston, but it's not like he's been that much worse. And it's almost like people kind of forget how good Mookie Betts is. I don't know if I just feel that way, but.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think part of it is playing out on the West Coast. No one's staying up to watch him as well. And
that's true. East Coast bias.
As much as Mookie Betts does have like awesome highlights and stuff like that too, I think, well, and same goes for Mike Trout as well. He's a player that if you're watching him every day, you appreciate him that much more. And the Red Sox are a team that the nation watches more every day than the Dodgers.
Which is wild. Like, the Dodgers need to be a team that more people watch. Like, dude, if you look at their run differential, the Dodgers are at 88. The next closest team is the Yankees, who have been ridiculously good. I think they still lead the league in win percentage. They do. And they have 21 more runs in run differential than the Yankees. Wow. Like, that's kind of ridiculous how good. Like, oh, and like you were saying, they have, oh, I hate that the Dodgers are in the Giants division.
Yeah, I hate that the Yankees are in my division.
Oh, yeah. I love the Yankees, though. This is the, oh, man. This Yankees team is so much fun to watch. Just a side note. What hitter do we want to talk about next?
I want to talk about, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, old dude.
Ooh, Goldie.
Is currently on a 14-game hitting streak where over those 14 games, he has 27 hits. 12 of them are doubles, 4 of them home runs. He has 18 RBI. Slash line over that period, 458, 476, 864. For a 1341 OPS. I mean, I've already starved to death with that OPS.
Goldie could hit 12 doubles over the course of a season, and I'd be like, that's decent.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Guys putting up Joe Panic season double number.
Yo, wait. What is up with this shape?
You cannot be giving shade to an all-time great.
But yeah, and like him and Arenado, just this season already had some strong Hall of Fame cases, but are really sort of cementing them a little bit with their performances so far, especially if they could keep this up all year long. But
yeah, honestly, like, is St. Louis the team that has, like, the most active players that are just, like, guaranteed Hall of Famers?
Maybe.
Because, like, Goldie, Arenado, Yachty, and Wainwright, like, those are all in, probably. Yeah, and Pujols. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're all in. It, who's not in of those?
Dude, it's just so wild that you're, like, talking about guaranteed, and, like, Albert Pujols is the name you just, happen to forget. Yeah. Like, but it's true. I mean, granted, Yachty, Wainwright, and Pujols probably – well, actually, Wainwright maybe, but Pujols and Yachty definitely aren't the players they were in their peaks, but they're still, like, serviceable good players.
Yeah.
I feel like the Dodgers might be able to contest them with how many Hall of Famers.
Maybe.
But other than that, like, if you're in the same conversation with Dodgers in that term, you're, you're happy.
Yeah, it's just – it's crazy. It's crazy that such an old team has that kind of legends on it, though. But yeah, Goldie batting really, really well recently. Love to see it.
Just question off the top of my head. Do you think the Cardinals can beat the Brewers for the division title this year?
You know what? At the start of the season, I would have said no, but Milwaukee's had some weird stretches where they just don't look like the world beaters that they kind of did look like last year. I mean, it's possible.
Dude, yeah, I agree. I mean, in the beginning of the year, I would have said no chance. Like, the Brewers were a very popular World Series prediction at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And I mean, not that they've been bad. Obviously, they're 26-15 leading the division. They've been extremely good, but they haven't been what everybody expected them to be. And the Cardinals have definitely been better than people expected. I mean, you look at expected win-loss, the Cardinals have a better expected win-loss than the Brewers did. The Cardinals are just less than their expected win-loss, and the Brewers are outperforming it. But man, I would love to see the Cardinals kind of sneak that division away from the Brewers. Would make for some interesting playoffs, because the Brewers as a wild card team would be scary. What do you think, Noah?
Yeah, well, there's some key components to me sort of shifting my belief towards the Cardinals having a chance. One of them, one of the biggest ones, being Miles Michaelis having a great year so far. That was one of the, I think, doubts that we all mentioned going into the year. Dakota Hudson being solid, Wainwright being great, Jordan Hicks honestly being solid as a starter, and then guess what? They get into the playoffs, he's going to the pen, and he's going to give you some solid 2-3 inning stints out of the pen. That's going to be exciting. But then also, Edman, Goldschmidt, and Arenado all sort of, well, I think Arenado maybe not quite overperforming is the correct word, but I think Edman and Goldschmidt overperforming their expectations coming into the season. But then also understanding that Tyler O'Neill has not got it going yet. Dylan Carlson, as well, two big guys that I think we thought were more of the locks in the lineup to start the year. And you gotta imagine they're both gonna have at least some decent stretches going forward. And if that can happen, that's some good support for this lineup as well. And then you know, maybe a trade in the shortstop position. I don't know who, but yeah, that could bolster them as well. I think this Cardinals, I mean, it's definitely going to be a fight, and the Brewers have the upper hand right now, but I would not be shocked anymore as I would be going into the season.
Dude, yeah, Tyler O'Neill is the player I'm really looking at to pick it up. I mean, he's batting 195. His OPS is 553. I mean, I still haven't gotten over relaxing from work yet at 553. Like, I need some more time before I'm hungry. Dude, I love this analogy.
It's a good analogy.
But yeah, man, I'm kind of looking around like what shortstops might be for trade. It's kind of up in there. I'm not really sure who. I guess we still need to see who's going to be contenders and who's a pretender before we start talking about that, honestly.
I mean, the Twins are looking good right now. But if the Twins pitching falls off with, you know, Paddock is out for the year now, all that stuff.
Yeah,
that would be spicy.
You know, I was never, I know you guys were both kind of on board the Correa trade, but like, I never was fully on board that. I honestly, especially now with their start, I don't quite think that is going to be the move.
Cause I mean, it's like, not likely, but it would just be really exciting.
Oh, it would. I mean, look, we're fans of spice, and that would be spicy.
Okay, this is true. This is true.
You ever have some paprika?
Cool. And I mean, the other hot hitter of the week we have to talk about is Noah's boy.
Dude, yeah, I was preparing to have this piece on Benintendi and Jeff McNeil, two guys with their OPS under 800, but I think it's more valuable than it seems. But then Benny just had to get his OPS over 800 with back-to-back three-hit games Saturday, Sunday. His slash line, 320, 390, 425 for an 815 OPS. But even though him getting over 800 sort of ruined my point, I just really like the way him and McNeil have been playing. And I think that hitting, obviously batting average isn't everything, but with the way that today's baseball is being played, just balls in play being harder to come by, the balls being more dead, so that, you know, well, just the average OPS is lower than it's ever been right now, though things are starting to juice up a little bit. That play style has been more valuable this year, you know? And it's really fun to watch as well. It's fun to watch McNeil and Benintendi in the box, partially just, I don't know, some pretty left-handed swings as well. But yeah, I'm hoping, I still, you know, value OPS, all those advanced metrics, stuff like that as well. But would just like to see a few more players like this on every team and start to value that guy that could put the ball in play a little bit more. Sound like an old man, but it's fun to watch.
No, for sure. It's, I mean, dude, the high on base guys, the guys who get all the hits, like, I think back to the Giants World Series runs, like a big name that sticks out to me is Marco Scudero. And he didn't have a lot of pop. He just always got a hit, it seemed like. And, I mean, dude, with a 320 average, I'm sure that's what it seems like watching Benintendi. I'm kind of curious if he's in the last year of his contract. The Royals look like a dumpster fire. Probably not going to pay him for long term. Do we see him get traded at this deadline?
I mean, you know me, I'm always fighting for the Marlins to add a bat.
Oh,
hey.
But I don't know. You got any other ideas that come to mind, Adam?
Marlins sounds enticing.
I'm not sure. Is I don't know if the Marlins are going to be in the run enough to where they want to go out and trade for a bat.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about the Cardinals. I don't know who's their regular left-handed DH. I mean, I see Corey Dickerson and Albert Pujols as the two main DHs, and Dickerson's got a 472 OPS. Not a real time, but still not really hungry.
I mean, the Braves are an interesting one if they want to try picking it up. I mean, there's a lot of teams. It just kind of depends who's going to be willing. Like, even the Twins, maybe they want to get another left-handed bat if they're really feeling themselves.
Have an interesting one for you.
Oh, go for it.
The Boston Red Sox. I mean, right now they're starting Jackie Bradley Jr. in right field.
Yeah.
He's got a 556 OPS. Alex Verdugo, 576. But Verdugo's going to be playing all year round. I mean, Kike hasn't been delivering either. Franchi, as I said, has been looking good. Bobby Dalbec has not, but Franchi could play first.
I honestly feel like he'd really fit the Red Sox right now.
I know. There's a chance. I just, I don't know.
That would be actually really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if, because like, Jackie Bradley playing right field always, personally, that always kind of seemed weird to me because like he's kind of a defensive first guy, and not that you can't have a defensive first guy in right field, is just you rather have a better bat in right field than Jackie Bradley has.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of even talking to Adam earlier today how like the Red Sox moving on from Renfro in retrospect seems really weird.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how that I forget the name of them, but that prospect pans out for them as well. But right field defense in Fenway Park, it's probably one of the most valuable parks in all of baseball to have a really good defender in right field. But still, you would like to have a better bat out there. It'd be interesting to see maybe the move Verdugo back there or just have Benny play right field because I think they like Verdugo in left. I don't know. We'll see. That's a possible fit, though. Any shot your Giants make a run at him?
I mean, the Giants are always in the conversation. They love left-handed bats. The only problem is I think they have a lot of left-handed outfielders right now. I mean, you have Mike Yastrzemski, you have Jock Peterson, you have Lamont Wade, and they have Luis Gonzalez, who's been playing a lot lately. And I mean, Luis Gonzalez kind of is playing similar to that Andrew Benintendi style where it's just a higher average. I think his average is over 300 right now. So I think if the Giants make a move, it'd be more for a right-handed bat than a left-handed bat, but I'll never rule anything out with Zadie. That dude's done plenty of funky stuff in running a team.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we want to go to next?
Dude, how about some pitching?
Okay.
We haven't gotten any good pitching talk in not nearly as much as we normally do. And, you know me and Noah, if there's two things we love when it comes to pitching, it's the Marlins and it's a lot of innings. And boy, is Sandy Alcantara just the king of it.
Tell me about it.
Oh, dude. I mean, it's his first start this week went eight innings, only one earned run, three hits, a walk, five strikeouts. That's eaten up innings. Then he comes out. How about a complete game after that? Three runs on six hits and a couple of walks, seven strikeouts. I mean, just putting in absolute work, such a workhorse, so good. Give the bullpen a day off. Do your job. Do it better than dang near everybody else in the league. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's 26.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but if we're just starting a team right now and you're saying, okay, you need to pick your first pitcher, you're thinking about obviously winning now in some sort, but then also, you know, building a solid base in the future. I don't know how many starting pitchers I'm picking before Sandy. Dude is a beast.
Yeah, there's really not that many just young starting pitchers that are that good.
Man.
And it's wild to think that the Marlins might have the two best of them. In Alcantara and Pablo Lopez. Wild.
And then a few other guys who are like really promising young guys.
Yeah.
Too. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Marlins pitching is so fun.
Watch Marlins baseball. It's good for your health.
It really is.
Brian, as I talk about this next guy, do you want to look up the more detailed stats for the Martin Perez start this week?
Yes.
But you know your team had a good week when you talk about them for probably too long and you don't even mention that one of their starters threw an absolute gem of a complete game. I did not mention the Nick Pivetta CG when I was talking about the Red Sox. Wednesday night against the Astros comes off. Guess what? Jose Altuve, boom, leadoff homer. And then Nick Pivetta said, you know what? I did not like that. Goes nine innings. Only two hits. One of them was first batter of the ball game. One earned run, obviously. Eight Ks, no walks. You know, obviously you could give up zero runs, but it doesn't get much better than that. No walks, eight Ks, only two hits. And after a tough start to the year, and we talked about him on Worry Watch, three fantastic starts in a row going deep. And it was so fun. I think he finished the eighth inning in like either the high 90s or maybe like around exactly 100 pitches. And Dave O'Brien for the call was just like, what a way to end his night. And he's walking back to the dugout. He's not looking at Cora at all. And Cora's not even facing him. He's just like talking to someone else. It's like, and it's just the little things in baseball that you love. That's like, oh no, he's going back out there, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that gives a lot of, energy to Pivetta as well. And Pivetta has been a guy that we saw in the playoffs last year could release a lot of emotion at times in a great way. And I think this was a way to instill some confidence in him in Cora, but then also in a way to challenge him to continue that mindset until the ball gets taken out of his hands. And guess what? He answered the call. He kept that focus the whole way through. And just a fantastic start from Nick Pivetta, and was a key contributor in CG week in baseball, where we had three complete games.
Dude, you asked me to look up Martin Perez's outing. And not only his last outing, the last six outings have been absolutely insane. Stunning. So this week on Friday, he went nine innings pitched, one walk, five strikeouts, gave up eight hits, but none of them got home over nine innings. I mean, that's less than a hit an inning.
Against who?
Against the Houston Astros.
All right.
But over his last six starts, how many earned runs do you guys think he has given up?
Ooh. Probably like four.
Yeah.
It's three.
Wow.
Three earned runs over 41 innings pitched. He went five strikeouts, four, six, seven, five. I mean, he's just been steady. He's gone six innings or more in all of those games. And that's pretty impressive after his first two starts, where he went four innings in each of them, giving up three earned runs in each of them. So it didn't get off to the best of start, but then just a complete 180, turned his season around and has been absolutely dominant his last six games. And shout out Martin Perez.
One of the funnest personalities in baseball too. I mean, I loved him on the Red Sox. He was a part of the not fun 2020 year, but he was really solid then too. And Jared Carabas on Twitter was like, it's such a weird season. Like, I'm getting super hyped up for Martin Perez starts. That's where we are right now. So he started a thing called Perez Day. And Martin Perez, you know, obviously he thinks he's good, but he also doesn't take himself too seriously. He's like, hell yeah, if I'm getting attention, getting some fans, it's Perez Day, baby.
And he's top five in ERA right now.
Oh yeah. In an interview just out of nowhere, with Jared Carrabas, actually, he was like, you know, the Red Sox Yankees rivalry isn't what it used to be. It's a lot more friendly now. And then Martin Perez is like, no, F the Yankees. Just out of nowhere. Just like, I want to pitch against the Yankees. Just sparking up the rivalry again. Just a really funny guy. Guy you love to have on your team. And guess what? He's just shoving right now, too. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, man. I also want to give a shout out to some younger pitchers. I mean, Michael Kopech. He's been a top prospect around for a while. He's been dealing this year.
He's Red pitched Sox today.
Yep. He's pitched 8 games, has a 1.2 ERA. So that's great. And then also Tarek Skubal from the Detroit Tigers. He's not as big of a prospect, but he's also pitched 8 games to a 2.2 ERA. So shout out to the young guys.
Yeah, I think he's second in Fangraph's pitching war behind Kevin Gausman right now.
So I see you have a question down here, Noah, and since we're talking about pitching, it's probably a good time to mention it.
Yeah.
If you guys have to give a way too early Cy Young prediction, who is it? Let's do NL first.
NL first.
Or would you rather do AL? You're both AL.
Well, I don't know. I'm just – it's tough because
– Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it was easy, we wouldn't have passed it.
Well, it's like, who's my Cy Young?
I think AL is way easier.
Who do I think is going to get voted for?
Well, let's just do my. I mean,
yeah, no. If you were going to give out a Cy Young right now, who would it go?
We're voting. Our votes are going to count
right now or at the end of the year.
Right now.
Right. Oh, right now.
Well, kind of thinking. Yeah, let's do based on right now, based on what we know. I would put mine for the American League on Justin Verlander.
I'm going Kevin Gausman if it's right now.
Ooh, okay.
If it's right now, I'm also going Gausman.
Yeah, so I'm kind of just going based on ERA. I mean, Verlander, 1.2 ERA, leads the majors, 51 innings pitched.
Yeah.
Impressive amount.
He's been really good.
7 earned runs. His whip is a 0.7. He has 49 strikeouts to 9 walks. Dude, Justin Verlander, first ballot Hall of Famer, no question. And
For sure.
He's still doing it with ease.
Yeah, so I would add. Gausman's also been, I was going to say, Gausman's been good. I actually might pivot to maybe even Alek Manoah. Because Manoah's been absolutely unreal to start
this season. I honestly think Manoah would probably be ahead of Gausman for me, too.
Yeah, Kevin Gausman leads baseball in FIP at 125, which we know the voters love. But next closest is Skubal at 197. Also leads all pitchers in WAR at 2.4. Next closest, as I mentioned earlier, Skubal, 1.7. He's got the innings pitched 50, 10.26 strikeouts per 9, 0.54 walks per 9.
Dude, just K to walk ratio is the big thing that stands out to me with Gausman. 19 strikeouts for every walk. That's absurd.
I love. That's why he is my American League Cy Young right now, though I wouldn't bet on him winning at the end, just as we have seen him trail off in the second half a few times.
I believe in you this time, Gausman.
Yeah, what about NL?
I feel like National League's a lot harder right now.
Is it? I feel like my National League is winning it by a decent margin.
Really? Okay.
Oh, well, it's Pablo. Okay. It's Pablo Lopez.
I don't even know why I asked. I knew that.
It's not even close.
I mean, I would argue it's close. I honestly, just for argument's sake, I'm going to take Miles Mikolas.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Mikolas,
same thing, right?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
I don't just always say Mikolas. I think Mikolas sounds right. That sounds more correct.
It sounds cooler.
But I mean, dude, Miles, he has a 1.6 ERA, 0.9 whip. I mean, Him and Pablo Lopez, their stats look kind of similar in a lot of ways. I mean, Pablo Lopez has a couple, 10 more strikeouts, 2 more walks. Yeah, very similar seasons. There's a long way to go this year.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm excited for both of them, but go Miles. Go Cards.
I think if it was just voters right now, it might be Rodon just because of the strikeout numbers, the FIP, all that stuff.
Rodon's had a rough week. I will say that.
Yeah,
otherwise week. I would have gone with him.
But yeah, I like Michaelis as well because he's also been giving you some deep innings. But I think, and if I was voting for the end of the year, I might say Sandy just because you know me. Yeah. I love innings. But I guess right now, I'll say Pablo too.
I was ready for just another name like. Joe Musgrove.
Joe Musgrove. Actually.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it's Julio Urias.
I'm going Wainwright. He's retiring with a sigh.
No knock on Urias, though. He has been having a great season, as I think we've all come to expect with him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's go to players on the up. One is very self-explanatory. We have talked about the team a lot this week. It is the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox are on a massive up considering how far down they were.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've mentioned it enough this episode. No more Red Sox love. I'm just kidding. But no, shout out Red Sox, definitely on the up. I think the team I'm more excited about, or I shouldn't say more excited, we've just talked a little less about, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, dude, they sent Royce Lewis down, which was kind of a bummer. Like Correa and some of the other veterans wanted him to stick around, and sucks they sent him down, but that's part of the game. It's gonna happen. But I really, really hope the Twins. I mean, I wanted to believe in the Twins last year. I think I picked them to win the division last year, and they just totally that was like easily the most disappointing team last year for me. Yeah. So I'm glad to see them doing well. And you know what? Like, I don't know why, but I just don't like the White Sox. So go Twins.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, and then some teams on the down.
Oh, actually, really quick before we move up, I want to throw the Padres in teams on the up too. I think them sweeping the Giants was huge.
Yeah, they swept the Giants. That's a big series to sweep. And it puts them tied with wins with the Dodgers. So where you want to be.
I heard they're pretty good, the Dodgers.
Yeah,
definitely not.
But teams on the down, we're starting off
with the Dodgers.
But you might be saying, over the last 10 games, the record's good. They're incredible. Oh my. It's for one reason and one reason only. It's how they lost on Sunday. Oh my God. It was 2 outs, runners on 2nd and 3rd for the Phillies. Bottom of the 9th inning, the Dodgers are up by 1. Ground ball, pretty much right at Max Muncy playing second base. All he needs to do is field the ball, throw to first, game over. Kind of boots it, goes, squibs under his legs. Runner from third scores to tie it. Roman Quinn was on second base. He's hustling around. Ends up scoring to walk it off after a horrible error by Max Muncy. Though impressive awareness by Muncy, he did not wallow in his error at all. He knew exactly who was on second base, fired immediately home. It was just great base running by Roman Quinn. I believe it was Roman Quinn, I'm not positive. It was rough. And it's just one of those things, once in a very, very long time, it's going to happen to everyone. It just happened to be at the worst possible time for Max Muncy. But who I think we'll have a short memory of this, but it was just brutal. I know, Adam, you saw it. Any thoughts? Yeah.
It's just one of those ones where you go, oh man, that's one of the worst ways to lose. Is you just shouldn't lose to what is a routine ground ball. Just to boot it so bad that you allow 2 runs to cross. But with 2 outs and 2 on, those runners are going on contact. They were already hard running, whether it was going to get booted or not. And, you know, props to the Phillies for running hard on contact in a game that, you know, on that kind of ground ball, you could totally have players just give up and be like, ah, ground ball to second, that's an easy out. We're toast. But they were running hard and it worked for them. It's rare that will happen, but yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, and it's not like it was a tie game. It's the Dodgers were literally about to win the game.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Unfortunate. But yeah, there are actual teams that are on the down. I don't see them on here. But Seattle, the Mariners have been struggling a little bit. They're on a 4-game losing streak. They obviously lost a couple games against Toronto as well. They're three wins over their last 10. And Texas has jumped over them for third in the AL West.
Wow. So, yeah.
Hey.
Someone I wrote on Worry Watch, but we didn't talk about was Robbie Ray. Nice 4.62 ERA right now. And on last Sunday, he had a rare game where he gave up 2 triples. So that's a little fun stat.
Yeah.
6 innings pitch, 5 earned runs. And then on Friday against the Red Sox, it was more of the same. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 walks, but 4 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. It was just 1 4 run inning. And it's like Robbie Ray's having those like outings that you expect every once in a while out of an ace where it's like, oh, he eats you some innings, ends up giving up 4 earned runs, something like that. But he's just having them like too often, you know?
It's a little too frequently. The Mariners are not getting quite as many of those, you know, just absolutely dominant Robbie Ray starts that you saw him do in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so, you obviously hope that he gets those back and he starts doing those again. But as it stands right now, yeah, it's a little rough in Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, still time to turn a page. Just signed Justin Upton as well. We'll see how that works out. I don't know. But go for it.
I have a little question for you guys. Pop quiz. Who do you guys think are the 3 teams to score 200 runs this year?
3 teams that have scored 200?
Yes.
I imagine the Dodgers have.
Yes, they are one.
The Mets?
No, the Mets have not scored 200 runs. The Mets have scored 194.
Oh, that's higher than I would have thought. I know we talked about them just scoring a lot relative. Have the Angels hit 200?
Ooh, the Angels are at 207.
Hey. Rockies.
The Rockies have
no they're shot.
190.
No, they're not, shot. Okay.
The Rockies, they score a lot on course.
They do.
Astros.
No, 180. I don't know if you guys will get this last team. It kind of surprised me. Nope. It's more of a team you wouldn't think. The Yankees are at 195.
Team I wouldn't think? Detroit.
No, okay. Not that much one thing. We actually talked about this team being good this episode.
Talked about Twins?
Cardinal?
It is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Dang. They're at
exactly 200. The third
most
runs.
They must have hit it today. Oh, well, yeah. They scored like 18 today. Runs today.
Yeah. That'll help.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And then there is 5 teams that have given up 200. You think you guys want to take a guess at that?
Tigers.
That have given
up. No. Tigers have only given up 157.
Given up to. I lost Cincy. Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati has. Pittsburgh has. Those are the first and second place.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Colorado probably has.
Colorado is third, right behind them.
Baltimore probably has.
No,
Baltimore is not. 183.
They've been solid.
Really? 183 is not solid. I mean, it's still rough.
It's not fair Oakland. Enough. No, Oakland's
Seattle's giving up 190. It is not Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland's been, they've actually been pitching decently well.
171.
See, who else is really bad? Nationals are really bad.
Nationals is in fourth. So there's just one other.
Yikes. Wow. I don't know. If it wasn't Detroit.
The Cubs?
No, it is the Kansas City Royals.
Oh.
Which are so bad, we just forget about them.
I wrote, yeah. We talked about Benintendi.
Oh,
Brady
yeah.
Singer also had 7 innings today, 9 strikeouts, 0 runs, 0 walks. But guess what? They still lost.
Yeah, not surprising.
They gave up 5 in the 8th.
Jeez.
That's
rough.
Well, Let's talk about some upcoming series.
Yeah. I mean, I know a couple that I definitely want to talk about because we've talked about all of these teams, but the Brewers have a very interesting week. Brewers get to play the surging Padres. And then, I mean, we talked about it, Brewers versus Cardinals. Ooh, later this week.
That's a weekend series, Brewers versus Cardinals. Don't go anywhere this Memorial Day weekend. Stay inside. Watch the Brewers and the Cardinals play against each other.
That should be a big one.
Dude, I'm nervous about this Mets-Giants series. Giants are just slumping, and you do not want to be playing good teams like the Mets when you're slumping. So it's in San Francisco. Hopefully they can put it together.
Yeah,
for sure. Cardinals also have a fun series against the Blue Jays. And then, as we've mentioned, I feel like two or three episodes in a row, Phillies have a long, tough schedule that they're still in the middle of. Start off against the Braves, who, you know, aren't the toughest team to face right now, but still a talented team. And then the Mets over the weekend. It's Phillies. You gotta, you know, put up or shut up. And it's just, I saw a stat earlier in the week that was like, over the last 50 games, the Phillies are 25-25. Over the last 100 games, the Phillies are 50-50. Over the last 200 games, the Phillies are 100. It's just like, no matter how much money they put into this thing, no matter who they trade for, they're pretty much like a 500 ball club.
Man. Yeah. No. And tailing off of Brian, not wanting to face good teams while you're kind of slumping. Yeah. Jays get to play the Cardinals and then the Angels.
Yeah.
That's potentially a pretty rough week.
Oh yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that Blue Jays versus Angels series. I mean, you gotta love the blue and the red combining and just the uniforms, and then also a lot of fun players on the diamond. And another just midweek, it's going to be a slog, grind it out series, Yankees versus Rays. Yep. I mean, anytime you go into the Trop, especially as a Red Sox fan, it's like, these are just going to be the longest, most exhausting, intense games ever.
Yeah, the Trop just does something to people.
It's not a good something. But you know what? I really want to go to the Trop.
Same.
Iconic.
St. Pete, baby.
May not be iconic for great reasons, but it's iconic.
It is indeed iconic. Yeah, so a lot of good series coming up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, that's just about all I got.
Yep.
I think I'm all done, too. That's going to wrap it up this week. If you haven't listened to the Emergency Podcast with Joe Panic, make sure you listen to it. Make sure you listen to our teaser. It is some pristine work, if I say so myself. Make sure you follow us on our social medias at @NonstopBBPod. Send us a message. Tell us why your favorite team is good or bad at baseball. And yeah.
Yes.
With that, we'll see you next week.
Later. See ya.
Good night.